about the church, saved from the world, for the world. But I'm going to show you some Israel pictures today. Is that okay? Because we're going to be talking about Jesus' early ministry. In fact, Jesus' early ministry, it really began at his baptism. He really didn't minister a lot before he was baptized. And he was baptized in the River Jordan and by John the Baptist. And then immediately he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was tempted by the devil. He overcame. And at the end of that, the angels came to minister to him. And then the next scenario that we see, that he is in Nazareth. Okay? John the Baptist is arrested. And the Bible says that Jesus left Nazareth and went to Capernaum and by Galilee in that area. So I want to show you some. Have we got those ready? Okay, we just pop the first one up. This is the Sea of Galilee, and the prettiest part of Israel is right here. This is the area around Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. All of that area is so pretty. You can see in the background that mountain on the left is Arbel, Mount Arbel. And see the valley that comes down between it? That is called the Valley of the Doves. And that is the pathway that Jesus had to walk when he went from his hometown Nazareth to the Sea of Galilee. We got some more pictures. Here we are. We're on a boat here. We went on a boat ride. It was fun. It was, I guess it was a replica of the kind of boat that they would have had in that day. And we had some Jewish guides on that boat, and they played music. Me and Kathy didn't. But some of them did Jewish dances. And that, you know, it was just a great, great time. But there's a scene of the Sea of Galilee. Gorgeous, gorgeous. There's the head of the boat. There's the, I don't know what that is, a dragon or something. But looking back at Mount Arbel in the Valley of the Doves, okay? And this is actually still the Sea of Galilee, but this is looking from the mount where the Mount of Beatitudes. That's where that's at. Looking down to when you remember when he went up on the mountainside and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And people gathered around him. Well, this is the view that you would have seen during that time. Okay, and there I am on the Mount of Beatitudes, and they asked me if I would read that sermon that he did, and that was quite an emotional experience for me to have read the sermon that Jesus preached on that mountain. So they asked me to do that, and then we had a time of prayer and reflection. Okay, and there again, that's from our hotel room that we stayed in Tiberias. Every morning we got up and looked out, and there's the Sea of Galilee. There's the scene that you see, okay? There's the Valley of the Doves. There is the place that Jesus would have walked when he came from Nazareth to the Sea of Galilee. That was, to me, one of my favorite places. And to be able to look down that path and just think that, you know, 2,000 years ago, our Savior walked that road. And look how pretty the mountains are up in there. Israel is a gorgeous, gorgeous place, okay? Here's some more of the scenery. Kathy, you remember the name of that city on the hill there? What? Gamala. You see on the side of the hill there, you can see some ruins. That's the city of Gamala. But look how pretty the mountains are there. That's just Northern Israel looks like that. Okay? There's another scene with the mountains. Okay? There's another scene. Look at all the rocks. They had rocks everywhere. If rocks were diamonds, they would be the richest nation in the world. Okay? There's another scene. Just gorgeous scenery. All right? That's it? That's the last one. Okay. So there's a few pictures. There's about 11 pictures. We'll show some more as we minister in certain areas. Our goal in 2 years is to put together a tour of anybody that wants to go to Israel. Dale Cohen has agreed to be our guide. We would be the host. And we are, and I'm just telling you right now, we're going to do our best to put together a tour, a two-week tour, just like we went on. So put that in your pipe and meditate on it and smoke it. And, it, you know, if you're interested in going, so you see our people understand what I'm talking about. Put that in your pipe. Our grandpas know, because they smoke pipes, and it's different kind of pipes than you were thinking about. But think about that. If you need to save money, you better begin to save money towards that. And as we get closer, we'll start putting that together. We're going to invite people in Batesville or other people that want to go. We'll probably need at least 14 people to put together a tour, and hopefully we could have 25 or 30. So that would be a wonderful thing. So here's one of the things that the trip to Israel did for me. It made me want to understand my Bible better. You know, especially the Old Testament. As you read some of those Old Testament stories and, you know, David and Goliath. Well, I've been to that valley, you know. Samson and Delilah. I've been to Samson's hometown. So it just makes me want to understand and read not only the history, but also the stories, because sometimes the setting dictates the understanding of the story. And so it's just given me a greater want to understand our Bible. How many of you are still involved in your daily Bible readings? You know, we're reading through the book of the Bible through in a year. Maybe some of you have started and you kind of petered out. Well, stoke it back up. Stoke it back up. This is a habit that every believer needs in their life. We need to constantly be reading our Bibles every day. Everybody say every day. Now, I'm not scolding you. I'm just encouraging you. If you're not in a Bible reading program, you need to get in a Bible reading program. You're not as sharp as you think you are. Okay? You never get to a place that you need to quit reading your Bible. Because the Bible is kind of like an onion. There's layer after layer after layer of understanding. And what I do is I pick a translation. Last year it was the New Living Translation. This year it is the Amplified Bible. It takes longer to read the Amplified Bible. So I'm reading the Amplified Bible this year. Next year I'll pick another translation. So I want to encourage you to get in that journey with me and the rest of our body. And let's be faithful to read our Bibles. Also, let me encourage you. We subscribe to the Not Right Now Media that has personal Bible studies. Don't forget that those are available. It's an online Bible studies. There's hundreds of them. There's literally hundreds of Bible studies on there so that you can do personal Bible study at home. There's things about marriage. There's things for kids. There's things for teenagers. There's all kinds of, our life group did one called Balancing Life Demands, how to manage your time, how to manage your money. Men's Fraternity is on there. Dave Ramsey has some stuff on there. And if you hadn't signed up for that, give Joe your email address, and we can send you an invitation. It don't cost you anything. We subscribe to it. It's a monthly subscription that we pay. And you know what? If we're paying it and you're not using it, that's not good stewardship. So use that. Get involved in that. Okay, I'm going to read today. We're talking about the church. I want to take your minds back to us talking about Moses last week. And God calling Moses to go to Egypt and bring the children of Israel out. And Moses says, "Who am I? Lord, I can't do this. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. I stutter." He had all of these kind of excuses. And finally, God said to him, "What's in your hand? What's in your hand? And he had a shepherd's staff in his hand. And God took that and used that stick. And Moses went up against the Egyptian armies, against Pharaoh. And he literally, God took what was in Moses' hands and worked miracles through it. And so the gist of what we were talking about is that every one of us has something in our hands that God wants to take and use for his glory. See, I don't care what it is. It could be a talent. It could be an ability. It could be the job that you do, the training that you went through for the profession that you're in. It could even be your negative background. How many of you know that God is not limited by our negative backgrounds? Well, you know, I'm just an old drunk, or I've been divorced, or I've been this, or I've been that. That is something that's in your hand that you have dealt with. And listen, if you have overcome that, that's something that God can take. He can turn it around and he can use it, and he can use that thing to help work miracles in people's lives. I've never been through a divorce. I don't know how that feels. I don't know those emotions. If you've been through it and have overcome that, then guess what? That's a tool in your hand that God can take and use for his glory. I've never been drunk in my life. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what a hangover's like. But there's some of you that have been there, done that, got a t-shirt or two. And God can take that. And that's the whole thing about Celebrate Recovery. It's what we have overcome in our lives that God can turn that around. The things that caused our moanies, God turns into testimonies. And he can take that and he can work miracles in other people's lives. God saved you in order to use you to save somebody else. Jesus died that you might have life, that you might be filled with life, and that you might share that life with other people. And you don't have to stand in a pulpit to do that. You know, we don't need a bunch of people standing in the pulpit. Did you know that? You don't have to have a Bible school degree. You don't have to know how to preach or teach or anything else to be used by God. In fact, the kind of ministry that Jesus started had nothing to do with the religion that he came out of. First of all, Jesus was not qualified by Jewish law to be a priest. Number one, he was of the wrong family. What family were the priests? Levites. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. He was not even qualified to be a minister or a priest in his own religion. He did not connect with that, even though he never denied his background, even though he even practiced His religion of Judaism. When he began to gather his disciples, I don't think that he picked one Levite. He didn't pick one person that was trained. He didn't connect it to Judaism at all, even though he practiced it in his life. That is not what he built his church on. He didn't build it on professional ministers. In fact, even though that Jesus went to the synagogue, there were times that he taught in the synagogue, his main ministry was outside of the institution, can I use the word, of that local church. It was not inside the walls of a synagogue. Most of it happened on the outside. Now, if you look at the church today to see what we have become, most all ministry that takes place with the church takes place within the confines of its four walls. Do we need the gathering? Absolutely. In fact, Hebrews tells us to not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because we need each other. See, we need corporate worship. There's time we need to come together for corporate worship. We need to come together for encouragement, for teaching, for fellowship. But it's not so that we can build walls and say to the world, you come. It's so that we can be filled up and we can go. See, our message to the world is come. Jesus' message to us was go. We get it backwards. We say come. Jesus said go. Now, when Jesus left his hometown, he moved to Capernaum. And I may have some pictures of Capernaum. Maybe I'll show you next week. But he moved to Capernaum. It was a trade center there. And one of the reasons that he moved, because it was strategic for him to launch his ministry out of Capernaum rather than out of Nazareth. And so he headquartered in Capernaum, and his ministry went out from there. Now, I want to read. Now, Capernaum is on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's on the north shore. So in Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 22, right as it is, Jesus has just come out of the temptation. He has gone when John the Baptist was arrested. He left Nazareth. He moved to Capernaum. He's getting ready to begin and launch his ministry. This is his church launch, okay? One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets and at once followed him. Now, they did not know who he was. He did not have a reputation at that time. He was simply walking along the Sea of Galilee. He had not preached yet. He had just moved to Capernaum, set up his headquarters that he was going to launch ministry out of. And then one day, as he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, he sees them out there, calls to them. He says, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Okay, verse 21. Oh, yeah. "And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in the boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind." Now, there didn't look to be anything religious about this at all. But this is his calling to four of his disciples. This is how Jesus ministered. He didn't give an altar call at the synagogue to get his disciples. He went out to where people were, and he didn't reach out to those who were trained. He didn't reach out to those who were ready. He didn't reach out to those who were qualified. Do you really ever feel unqualified to do anything for God? I do all the time. I love what Terry Roark said. "Lord, I just feel so inadequate." And the Lord said, "That's because you are." How many of you know that we're inadequate? Within ourselves, we're inadequate. There's not a lot within ourselves that we can do. God is not looking for the qualified. He is not looking for the adequate. He is looking for those who are available. And when these four heard Jesus say, "You know how to catch fish. If you'll follow me, I'll show you how to catch men." Immediately, they responded to it. And I think it's interesting that immediately they responded to it. These were his first converts. Now, for the next couple of weeks, I want us to look and see exactly how Jesus ministered to people. You know, he didn't really preach to them. Now, he'll teach them later. He'll take them from those who are coming to follow him. He will turn them from followers into disciples. He will train them. He will speak into their lives. But right now, he's just trying to get them to follow him. Okay? He will demonstrate ministry later. But right now, he's just trying to get them to follow. We have, in the American church, we have built up this system of religion that I think has crippled us. Because we see, and I say this all the time, we see that we have guys who are ministers, that are pastors, that are, and God set those in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, so that they can go out and do the work of the ministry. Okay? Where does ministry take place? It doesn't just need to take place in the four walls. Ministry needs to take place when we say amen and you walk out the door. Ministry needs to take place wherever you are, whatever you're doing, by using what's in your hand to use. We have some very talented people in this body. We have some very gifted people in this body. We have people who are strategically placed in certain institutions in this body that you have a great thing in your hand that you can take to affect people. And I'm not talking about just preaching at people. I don't like to be preached to, do you? I mean, I see people sometimes and they want to preach to me. I mean, out there sitting, well, you know, they're wanting to preach at me. People don't want to hear that. They want you to care about them. They want you to love them. They want you to encourage them. They don't care what you know. I don't care how smart you are. They do not care that what you know. You have to show them that you care first. You have to build relationships with people if we're going to reach people. We have to be invested with people if we're going to reach people. Every one of us have a platform. Every one of us has a mechanism that God has made available to us that has nothing to do with the public assembly, that is totally outside the church. Opportunity that has been given to us to reach people. Listen, if we will ever get a hold of this as a church body, this body of believers will explode all over this area. People will come to faith in Christ, not because you're religious, but because you care about them, because you love them, because you invest in them. You remember back Easter? You remember the process that we went through Easter, where I had you to write three names down and had you to draw circles around them in prayer? Had you to encourage them? Had you to do an act of kindness before you ever invited them to come to church? That was a booming success. We had 745 people show up here one Sunday. It was a tremendous success. Let me tell you, take that same formula. Take that same thing. And daily, put people on a prayer list and pray for them daily. Encourage that person. Invest in that person. Do things of kindness. And then you'll see the doors of ministry open wide to you. And you can win them to Christ. You're going to win them more by your lifestyle than you are by your mouth. Now, is the mouth important? Yes. A word in season is a wonderful thing. But people do not like to just be preached at. They don't want to hear it. especially if the lifestyle doesn't line up. They really don't want to hear that. Okay? I want to quickly, and I'm pressed here. I want us to learn how to minister the Jesus way. And I want to just say some things to you. First of all, we need to learn how to be real. Real. That's kind of one thing I like about you guys. What you see is what you get. This is why we don't dress up. This is why I don't dress up. First of all, I don't like to dress up. Does anybody like to wear ties? I used to wear a suit and tie all the time. And I'm thinking, why did I do that? What? That's what's expected of you. But that's not who I was. That's not the way I dressed every day. And it can become a deterrent for people who want to associate because they don't like to dress that way or they don't have the means to dress that way. And there are places that if you go into church dressed like I am, you'll be frowned at. Not here. In fact, I was at McDonald's this morning, as is my custom. I had a lady look at me, and I had this on right here. She says, "Aren't you going to church today?" I said, "I sure am." You know what she was insinuating? You're not dressed to go to church. Let me tell you how you're not dressed to go to church. If you're naked or indecent, okay? Let's learn to be real. Let's learn to be real. See, and here's the second thing. This is how he reached his disciples. He went to where they were. He didn't say, "Come to where I am." He went to where they were. And if you're effectively going to minister to people, you're going to have to go to their level. Hopefully you are above their level in understanding and knowledge and all of that kind of stuff. And they don't really care what you know, but if you can get to their level, you have to go to where they are physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually if you're going to reach people. Here's something else Jesus did to Peter. He reached out to him in the context of his understanding. Not of Jesus' understanding, but of Peter's understanding. He talked his language. Peter knew about fishing. So what did Jesus talk about? He talked about fishing. Fishermen understand fisherman language. Okay? Bikers understand biker language. Sportsmen understand sportsman language. Football people understand football. There's some of you that if I came to you talking about football, you look at me like I had two heads. You don't understand football. You don't like football. But you know what? If somebody is into football or some sport, and if you talk that language with them, you're going to make a connection with them. Don't talk about what you're interested in. Don't talk about what you're interested in. Find out what they're interested in and connect with them on that level. I could talk to somebody about racing, race cars. I don't care squat about NASCAR. Is it important? I suppose. Okay? But if it's important to that person, I could talk to them on that language. I could learn to connect with them where that is concerned. I don't care about motorcycles. But I care a lot about bikers. Well, if you don't like motorcycles, you don't like bikers. No, I love bikers. I don't want a motorcycle. If you want a motorcycle, I hope you get two. I don't want one. But bikers are important. Okay? Hunting, fishing, grandkids. We can talk to people where they are, but we have to go to where they are and we have to talk their language if we're going to reach people. Don't talk church-ese. Brother, you need to be born again. What? You need to be redeemed by the blood. What? No. Get down where their hurt is and say, you know what? There's hope for your situation. You're going through this divorce and you're hurting right now. And I want you to know that God loves you right where you're at. He knows your pain. See, you talk to people where they're at. Jesus called him to a higher calling, but within the context of his profession. Here's one thing that we need to see. God doesn't call everybody into a fivefold ministry. He doesn't need everybody to be in a fivefold ministry. But he desires for every one of us to be in a ministry. And it has to do within the context of who we are and what we are, our personality, our giftings, our callings, our talent, our profession. If you work in a bank, there's your mission field. I can't go into the bank and go to the level that you can go. If you work in the hospital, there's your mission field. If you build houses, that's your mission field. You know, whatever it is that you do, that's your mission field. I'm not talking about preaching to people. I'm talking about connecting with people. There's where you can start drawing prayer circles around a person who's going. Let me ask you a question. Who is the most obnoxious person that you work with? Who's your Samaritan? Who is the most obnoxious person that you know that you work with? That person that you do your best to avoid. Now, I'm preaching at myself a little bit now. Who is that person? I'm not talking about who I work with, who I deal with. I just work with Gail and Joe. And probably it's not Joe, so. No, it's not who I work with. It's people that I deal with. Never mind. But who is the most obnoxious person that you deal with? Maybe that's where your mission field starts. Maybe it starts by you circling that person in prayer and calling their name every day in prayer and said, God, show me, because you don't know why that person's the way that they are. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they've gone through. You don't know their hurts. You don't know their habits. You don't know their hang-ups. You don't know what has happened to them. And if you don't begin to pray for them, you'll never have a ministry to them. You'll just avoid them. It's real easy for us to reach out to people that we like. But what about the people we don't like? See? We all have opportunities to do this thing called ministry. Prayer. Encouragement. Acts of kindness. And then our witness. Because everybody has problems. Everybody's messed up in some area of their life. And if somebody will care about them, eventually they will open up and share their heart. And when they show their heart, then you can show Jesus to them. And that's what we need to be about. That's ministry. Jesus way. We're going to look at some things next week. We're going to look at some things next week where Jesus ministered to particular people, and most of those people, everybody else wanted to get rid of or kill or something. They didn't want anything to do with them. Who is the church about? It's about people who are in need. And that's all of us, isn't it? So what do I need to do? Number one, begin from where you are. Begin from where you are. Number two, grow from where you are. See, you have to invest some things in you. Start growing from where you are. Ask God to grow you. And number three, minister in the realm of your reach. Oh, I'd love to go on a mission trip. Let me ask you, are you ministering in the mission field that you're in right now? If you're not ministering in the mission field that you're in right now, why do you need to go overseas to minister to somebody else when you're not ministering where you are right now? We want to be world-minded, but we don't want to be community-minded. Listen, we've got to be both. We've got to be both. And I've got to quit. Let me pray for you. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us how you ministered to people. Lord, we want to be the church. We want to be a church that you would be proud of. One that is like you. That does things the way that you did them, not the way that tradition has evolved. We want to be life-giving. We want to be a life-giving church, Father. Continue to guide us in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. I want you to think about this next week. Here's your challenge. I want you to pray and ask God to show you people that you can begin to pray for. Would you do that? This is yes, this is no. Yes? Yes. Would you do that? Yes. Okay. You're dismissed.